Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 174. Now, Black Friday is right around the corner on November 29th. And trust me, our Jazz Piano School deal is gonna be good.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 174. My name is Brendan Lowe. Thank you so much for being here, as always. In this episode, I'm going to be going over the five different types of registers on the piano and how to utilize them for jazz, right? What exactly should you be playing in each one of these registers? Now, this came up because of a Jazz Piano School member was asking, you know, about his playing, and I was kind of critiquing it a little bit. And, you know, I noticed that they weren't particularly playing in all areas of the piano, right? They weren't utilizing all areas of the piano. And I think for a lot of students, even myself, when you're first starting, you don't really realize what should be going on. I mean, there's so many notes, right? You look at the piano and you're like, oh my goodness, like it's pretty overwhelming, like 88 keys, right? What am I supposed to do with all this? It's like it's so much, right? And if we just had like two octaves, it'd be like, okay, cool. I got this little space to work with, right? No problem, right? Easy peasy. But we have 88 keys and like our arms, if I'm sitting at a piano, I'm sitting at my keyboard right now, I can extend my arms and they reach out. I can barely touch either side, right? I have to kind of lean my body. So needless to say, there are lots of keys on the piano, right? And so what I'm going over is exactly what to play in each one of these registers. And I think it's going to be really, really insightful and helpful for a lot of you out there. Now, I have some house cleaning items. So let me see here. What is the biggest shopping day of the year? I think we all know, right? Black Friday. Black Friday is a very exciting time for many reasons because people like you and I can get amazing, amazing deals on TVs, electronics. You know I'm going to be buying a new TV for my office this year, which is very, very exciting. And normally I wait until Black Friday. Well, you know, here and there. But as it starts coming closer to the holidays, I'm usually waiting for Black Friday because honestly, the deals on that day are ridiculous. You're going to save the most amount of money. You're going to get the best deal. And that there's just no way around it, right? Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So with that being said, just in the form and shape of the flow, right, of all Christmas deals, holiday deals, Jazz Piano School releases an incredible, amazing deal on Black Friday every single year. So I'm going to start talking about that right now. So I would like all of you listening to be prepared because it always is our best deal. Now, the one great thing about this is besides the amazing discount and savings and access that you're going to get to everything inside of Jazz Piano School, I'm not going to kind of go over all the details just yet, but we're also releasing our Christmas course. So I've been filming. I've been slaving away here trying to pound this thing out to get it ready in time for Black Friday. So we're going to be releasing our first Christmas course on Black Friday, and that's going to be involved in our specific option to join Jazz Piano School. You're going to get that Christmas course, and it's fantastic. I mean, it's so great. And if you know my style and my philosophies, you're going to know that I'm not just about arranging. Now, there is so many arrangements, solo piano arrangements and accompaniment arrangements for Christmas tunes. But that's not exactly what I want to do. That wasn't my goal of this course. And again, I didn't want to make it just arrangements, analyzing arrangements, because Again, my philosophy is not to give you the fish, it's to teach you how to fish. And I truly believe that if you're analyzing arrangements and you're learning how to play arrangements with sheet music, you're not truly learning jazz. You're not learning the tools necessary to create freedom in your playing and express your true soul and emotions through the music of jazz spontaneously, right? Improvising. You're really not. And the more you do that, the more you're going to rely on music, the more, you know, the more of a crutch it's going to be. And unfortunately, that's what students think they want, right? Because it's fun and allows you to play quickly. But if you're about the long game and you're really about learning how to dive into this music and do what the pros do, right? And spontaneously play without music, okay? Creating your own reharms, your own world and atmosphere of music, then you can't use arrangements, okay? So with that being said, in the Christmas course, I've gone over and highlighted a lot of different tools that are going to assist you in creating Christmas reharms. Now, the great thing about learning jazz piano tools, as I'm sure all of you have heard me say before, and if you're not, well, here you go, is that they work over any tune, right? So if I were just to give you the arrangements of the Christmas songs and you played the arrangements, you'd kind of just learn how to play Christmas songs based on what I played, right? But the great thing about this course is that I'm teaching you jazz piano tools that you can use over Christmas tunes, but guess what? You can use over other tunes as well. It allows you to take these strategies, take these methods, and apply them to any tune you want, right? Does that make sense? So you're creating freedom in your playing rather than being handcuffed by the arrangements that you're learning. It's a very, very big difference, and you need to be disciplined in order to apply yourself to this learning strategy. Because trust me, I know it's fun to get arrangements and play them, because when you read the music of someone else playing something that has played something, you can sound like that person, for instance, me, because I'm giving you the music, right? You can play everything that I just played, but you're copying. You're copying what I'm doing based on the music. You're not actually learning the components, the underlying fundamentals, the strategies, right, that I'm using to create the arrangement that I just did, all right? So that's the great thing about this course, is I'm going to be teaching you more than just Christmas tunes. I'm going to be teaching you tools that are also going to allow you to create your own arrangements of Christmas songs and any other tunes you want. Now, besides that, obviously, with this kind of Black Friday option, you're going to have access to a lot of the information inside of Jazz Piano School, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. So mark your calendars, right? November 29th, okay, is Black Friday, and we will be releasing our promotion at 6 a.m. Now, this promotion is going out via email, okay? And in order to get that, you got to get on our email list. So there's a number of different ways you can do that. Simply download any of the podcast practice materials. You can go to our website. You can download any of the free educational materials that we have available listed on the right-hand side of our blog, our podcast, and they're all great. I mean, everyone should have those anyway, because they're amazing, amazing things to have, resources to have, and they're definitely going to help you out. But that's how you'll get on. The other great thing about this is I'm going to start doing some live lessons for everyone on the email list for free. Free live lessons. And you're going to be able to ask me questions. You can submit anything that you want. And I'm going to be answering questions and demonstrating using our live video software that we're now incorporating into Jazz Piano School. So everything's great. Everything's wonderful, right? So amazing, amazing time for artists and musicians learning jazz piano. We got a lot of fun things coming up. So let me see. So November 29th, it'll go until Cyber Monday. So Cyber Monday will be the last day of the promotion. And yeah, you're going to hear me talking about this a lot, okay? So I just got to keep reiterating, because again, like I said, Black Friday, biggest shopping day of the year. And again, if you are interested in using the systems and my philosophies and the different way, the new opportunity of learning jazz piano that I've created with our 6-stage success path, right, our lab area, then this is going to be the best time for you to do that. So I've talked enough. Let's get into this episode. Here we go. So I want you to think about the piano as being divided into five different sections. All right. So I'm going to name them off here. We have the low end section. And a lot of this, you're not even going to be able to see on the camera because it's so low, right? But this is the lowest note on the piano, this A down here. Okay. Now, up until about, I'd say this G, B, between here to here, that's just going to be the low end of the piano. Now, let me list them all off first. From here to about here or here. Now, there's not really a specific note because they kind of overlap. The areas overlap each other, if you can kind of picture this. There's a little bit of overlap here, right, from the next register I'm showing you. So from about, like I said, here to here-ish, this is going to be known as low middle. Now, these aren't like general terms. Like, you can't go into the piano world and be like, oh, the low middle register. This is what I've deemed for you how to break these up, okay? Low middle. Now, for middle, we essentially have, again, from G to about C. Again, the overlap is kind of like here to here-ish. Here's where the overlap is happening. That's just going to be the middle portion of the piano. From about here to like here or here, anywhere in here, right in this general vicinity. Not so much here, not here, but right here. Tommy boy, anyone? Tommy boy? Okay. So that's going to be our middle high. And then clearly from here on up, all the way up, right? That's all high register. So we got five different areas. Low, we got low middle, right? We got middle, we got middle high, and we got high, okay? So what is each one of these registers used for in jazz? And what are the textures and atmospheres associated with each one of these registers? Let's start with the very low end, the bottom end. Now, if you can imagine, the low end is gonna be used for rich, lush sounds. There's so much support from the low end because of the bass notes. Now again, some of the students I analyze, when they're walking bass, it's like here. Right? That's not really the bass section you should be using. It's too high. And so many people disregard the low end area of the piano, right? Your bass should be low, the low end, right? Now, if I'm walking in the key of B flat, I can go all the way down to the lowest C on the piano. All right, you hear the difference between that? It's such a huge, huge difference. And again, you know, along with that, comping, okay, if you're comping, and again, like walking bass or something, but let's say you're just comping or you're playing chords, and not to get into this, but let's say you're using bass notes while you're comping, and that's a strategy that I teach, right? That, again, is a very thin sound. Now, if I shift everything down into the low and low middle register, right? My right hand is going to be in the low middle register. My left hand is going to be the low, very low end, okay? Now, do you hear the thickness and like the power behind that? That's what the low end is meant for and used for. So your low end is going to be mainly just bass notes and octaves or fifths, right? To really kind of give stability to your harmonies. if I'm doing a pedal or something, you know, if I'm just pedaling on F, you know, I'm just kind of playing on that octave down there, and it creates this amazing, amazing sound, right? To do that in any sort of kind of progression, like, it's such a great, powerful tool down there, okay? Now, obviously, you'll notice my right hand is comping not in the middle register here, right? Now, there is situational areas or bases, I guess, that I might do that, but for the most part, I'm staying in the low to middle register. When my left hand's walking bass, playing octaves or fifths to create a very low-end supportive accompaniment sound that has more power, more drive to a solo, to anything I'm kind of accompanying for, even if I'm playing solo piano, my right hand's going to be here. My left hand's going to be in the low-end area of the piano, all right? That's what the low end's for. Now, let's get into the middle low, okay? And again, that's going to be like here to here, again, to this area-ish, right? Now, this is also can be used for bass, but again, as you can see, it's going to have a slightly less thick sound. It's going to be still low, but it cuts through just a hair more, okay? So if you want your harmonies to cut through a little bit, like this is, that's rich, right? This is still rich, but it's got like a, it's not as, you know, it's got more smoothness to it, more elegance, right? Right, you hear that, the difference? Okay. So you can still use those strategies and principles, but again, this specific area right here can be used for that strategy that I was just talking about. The other amazing part about this area here is going to be for solo piano purposes. Now, this area can be used for bass notes. So if I'm walking, if I'm playing a two feel, definitely can be used for bass notes, okay? It can also be used for great, amazing, rich two-hand voicings. Now, going down into the low end, we can't use things like 1 and 7 down here. That's way too low for a 1 and 7. So if I use 1 and 7 here, this works out perfectly. And then I can start to build my two-hand voicings, okay, which we teach in jazz piano school, up from here. This is a component of our two-hand voicing building system, right? This, right? Okay, or even this. Right? All this area here is my left hand playing two-hand voicing building components. And for all the people who aren't aware of this in jazz piano school, that's going to be your bass notes, your 1 and 7, your 1 and 3s, and your 1, 7, and 3s. Okay, those are the components to two-hand voicing building system, right? So this area here is fantastic for that. Okay, you hear the it's still got the low end components, but at the same time, it's giving us a little, not as that huge low elephant low end, right? And again, I can play all sorts of things here. Right? So again, all low end. Now again, that's what my left hand is four. Now my right hand, while I'm using these, is more up here in this middle or middle to high register. I'm not really getting into the middle to high. There's a little bit of overlap, but still it's kind of all in this area in the middle register. So that's what our middle to low is going to be used for. It's going to be used for our right hand comping when our left hand's in the low end, right down here, or it's going to be used for our left hand solo piano components, or excuse me, two-hand voicing components. When we're playing solo piano, or when we're accompanying and we want to use some bigger spreads, maybe in a ballad, right? Okay. Okay, especially when accompanying any sort of soloist, you know, any sort of instrument, singer, this is a great area to stay in. When you're playing with a trio, you're not going to be, you don't want to try and, you know, in some instances you will, you can play in the low end register to kind of give more power to the bass. But a lot of times I might be comping here. Right? So just in this area, I'm kind of comping for the instrumentalist and soloist who's probably playing in the middle to high register. So I'm staying below them, right? So, you know, that's what that register is going to be used for. Now, let's shift to the middle register. So the middle register, right, which is about here to here, is going to be used primarily for left-hand voicings and right-hand melodies, okay, and sort of improvisation of any kind and drop two voicings. We don't have any bass notes really happening in the middle to middle high register, rarely ever. I mean, unless you're putting it into a left-hand voicing, like you're using an inversion. So if I'm playing a D minor first inversion, I have the bass note here, but it's more of a left-hand voicing. So if I'm soloing, so there's my bass note there. I'm not really using this, though, to create a low-end bass voicing, putting my bass note on the bottom and doing something like this, right? That's too high, okay? We need to be down in the lower end to do that. So again, this is going to be used for all rootless voicings here. If I'm soloing or if I'm playing a trio tune and I'm playing a melody, you know? Anything like that, okay? My rootless voicings are here, my melody's here. Now, the other type of thing that's going to be used for the middle register is drop two voicings. So if I'm comping, this register is great for comping and utilizing drop two voicings, okay? This is essentially where they should be. This is too low down here. This right here, This is again, we went into the overlap section here, but then we're getting more into the middle section here. You see that? So we can utilize some drop two voicings here. And we can also use them here for a nice high sound, right? Now, I didn't get into that register yet, but okay. So all your drop two voicings, melody, improv, left-hand rootless voicing should be in this middle register here. Okay, again, you want to stay away from the left-hand bass note building up voicings. All right, when you're playing solo piano, you shouldn't just be playing here in the middle register, right? You should be utilizing the middle low end to build your voicings and the very low end. If you're just staying here, you're not utilizing the registers of the piano properly. All right, let's go to the middle high. Again, this can also be used for drop two voicings, okay? And they sound great up there, but I would recommend you use this area. Now, as we start to get into the higher registers from the middle and up, this is gonna be more flourishes. It's gonna be more embellishments, flourishes, right? And any sort of kind of that like high-end thin texture. You really need to understand that all this stuff is thin, right? So if you're kind of going for a more like Disney sparkly magical feel, this is what this middle to high register is going to be for, okay? So again, if I'm soloing, I'm definitely using, you know, my solos up here, but my left-hand rootless voicings are probably staying in the middle register. I'm not moving my left-hand rootless voicings up this high, again, unless I'm trying to go for some certain feel. Like a magical sort of thin, high, very light, airy sort of feel, right? Right? More of like a, there you go. So that sort of texture or airiness. It's an embellishment. This register in the mid to high is for creating atmospheres and textures and colors, you know, that are light and flowy and kind of just moving over everything. It's not for that low end support. It's not for the bottom and copying or supportiveness, right? This is where when you want things to cut out and cut through the music, okay? Like, you're going to be heard very well in this register. So again, drop twos, improv, all happening in this register. Now, the very high register, this is, it goes even more, it further, like it's times 10. So everything I just said about the mid to high, it's times 10. Now, I probably would barely ever drop any sort of two-hand voicings up in the high register. I'm using octaves, I'm using embellishment, right? I'm using improvisation up here. Another great area or thing or strategy is comping with octaves up here and having your left-hand voicings down here. Right, you hear this kind of texture all the time. If you're doing more of the Errol Garner, you know, that kind of stuff, that's going to be all mid to high and high register. But for the most part, right? Kind of making up stuff, but that high register there is, again, it's going to cut through, it's going to be for elegance, beauty, and single note things, unless you're doing that kind of octave or like thirds. You know, you don't want a lot of thick, a lot of notes up here. Well, I shouldn't say that because I like using like stuff like this. But just realize that the texture is thin. It's for beauty. It's for really detailed, intricate, elegant sounds and feelings and moods. That's so far different from this powerful low end, right? Like, that's a completely different feeling than this, right? If I did that up here, I mean, you know, obviously it sounds weird, okay? So those are the five different registers, and hopefully knowing this will really give you a great idea of where things occur when playing jazz piano, because so many times, no one even knows. Now, my solo piano is occurring everywhere. I don't know why it came out like that. That was funny. Everywhere. All right, so I have my low-end bass notes. Sometimes I'm playing here, sometimes I'm playing up here for flourishes. When I'm playing solo piano and all the pros, everything is happening everywhere if you're a very good musician. Accompaniment is usually happening in this area unless we're playing ballads or some sort of where I'm kind of adding flourishes. You know, if it's just me and a singer or me and where I need to do everything, then I'm staying down here and then adding some flourishes up here. If I'm playing with a trio, right, then I can move off. I can do things like this. I can do things like this, depending upon the ballad. Again, the style, guys, really kind of adds into this, because if we're playing a ballad, I get to create lush voicings here, right? You know, and all that kind of, sorry about that, all that kind of stuff that goes into that, okay? And again, the low end for all those low end rich bass notes. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. Hope you learned a lot. I'll see you in the next episode.